Joy to be here this week. And so thank you so much, Pastor Garcia, for your kind words. And I'll tell you what, I take for granted too often the privilege it is to be a part of God's family. And boy, what a wonderful thing. It's good to see my friends, the Brewers, here tonight, and they're friends of mine too. And the neat thing about being a missionary is getting to travel all over the world and getting to develop relationships with the people of God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I'm on the winning side.
Yes,
we're on the winning side.
Yep.
And too often, if we're not careful, we'll live by sight and not by faith. And may the Lord help us and forgive us. Forgive me for how easy it is to do that. Listen, we're not living for the temporal things. We're living for the eternal things. And this life is just a vapor. And one day we're going to be in heaven for all of eternity. Amen. And I want to say thank you to all of you for your kindness to us this week. Our group, a beautiful place to stay, the food that I'm going to leave 20 pounds heavier, so thank you. And but you all have just done an amazing job treating us so well. We don't deserve your love and kindness, but we're appreciative of it, and thank you for that. And Pastor Garcia, your friendship has been such an encouragement to me and your wife and just this church. And I'm so grateful. And I really mean this when I say thank you for praying for my son.
Yeah.
Every one of you have come up to me and said, "How's Bennett?" By name. I know you've prayed specifically for him. Some of you have texted me and said, "How's Bennett doing?" And you've just, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but thank you for your love for my son. They were supposed to be here tonight. He wanted to be here. But, you know, God is working. And so I'm grateful for that. And one day, I promise, I'll bring him here. And my wife, so you can meet the little guy who you've prayed for so much. And we are seeing God do something, and we're grateful for that. We're seeing improvement. Since January, he's been ongoing with several different types of treatment that we've had two medical doctors, I'll be honest, who've just said, "Your son's just going to have to learn to live with it." That's not acceptable for a dad who loves his son. And for some of you who don't know, our son has been suffering with a constant headache for 16 months now, which often spiked to migraine levels. Sometimes he would be in bed for a day, sometimes 2 days, with just excruciating chronic pain, to the point where we saw a bright young boy who could just, God, I mean, plays the piano, the ukulele, I mean, he just, to the point where he couldn't even hardly do his schoolwork. And just since January, we've taken him to a group of Christian doctors, and I'll tell you, that does something special when they pray over your son before they do anything, amen? And they've been searching for things and doing some different things. He's doing a laser acupuncture and some natural detox and parasites. There's a lot of things on the mission field that you face that, you know, it's just part of it all. And God knows, and his way is perfect. And so we're just trusting the Lord. And I can honestly say that the Lord has been absolutely faithful. When there's been a need, he's provided. When when my son's spirit was broken, he was there to lift him up. And he's been there to lift me and his mother up and to encourage us to pray. And prayer does work, brother. And you've prayed for us. And don't stop praying. May we all pray more fervently for the work of God and for one another. Amen. Within the body of Christ, within the work of Christ, may we pray more fervently. And may God, and that's what this is all about. This is a missions conference, isn't it? And we're asking the Lord to remind us of those things. Just for some of you, and I know on Sunday night, I plan to show a little video of some things the Lord is doing. And some people say, "Well, what are you doing?" It's a good question. You know, my wife, Brooke, and we have a prayer card back there. And then our son, who's turning 21 this year. He's a Crown College student studying to be a pastor, and I'm grateful for him. He's our island son, Daniel. And then we have my daughter, Adeline, if she would stand for me. And this is Adeline. She's 14 years old. I'm grateful to God for her and her heart and tenderness to the Lord. And then little Bennett is our third. And we serve as missionaries in Kiribati, where we were from the year 2012. We went to the field in 2010, and it took us 2 years to get into the country of Kiribati, and because they had never had a Baptist church ever in their country, and God did a miracle there, and I don't have time to tell you of all the things, but God has established a work there. The gospel has gone forth by the power of his word, and people have been saved, and now a church has been established, and I was able to go back in February for 3 weeks, and just miracles every day God performed time and time again. We brought in 10,000 Bibles, and I'll tell you more about that on Sunday night. I just don't want to run out of time. And so I'll tell you what, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so we were back in 2019 with some health issues and had the clear to go back to Kiribati, excited about it. And May of 2020 happened, or April, sorry. We were had tickets ready to go in May, and COVID hit. And so long story short, God led us out here to help and assist with the Passage Northwest. And I want to just be very clear that the reason I'm a part of the Passage Northwest is because at the heart and the vision of Pastor Sexton, who now has gone on to be with the Lord, was that the Passage would be used to bring laborers and church planters to the Northwest. And God's doing that. Dan and Lindsay Grover and Libby Montana. And I'm praying for 10 more people in the next 5 years. You think that's possible? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we're asking the Lord to just start a revival. And you know what? It needs to happen here. It needs to happen over there. And it needs to happen all over the world. And I'm excited to be a part of whatever God has for us to do. And so right now, we're just taking each day as the Lord gives it to us and asking God to direct our steps. And obviously with things with our kids' health, just asking for, please, will you pray for us specifically for that God's direction and everything, and that we just wait on the Lord and keep being faithful to what God's given us to do. Amen. I've also been helping a church in Clark Fork, Idaho that was without a pastor, and I'm grateful to be able to help them. And that's where Nick and Adriana have now come, and they're a result of the Passage Northwest. Nick was part of our very first semester, and I'm grateful for him and his wife, and just praying that God will bring. I'll tell you what, we need in the work of the Lord, not just here, but all over the world, that God would strengthen what is here and for more work to be started. Amen. And I hope that's your prayer and your desire as it is mine. And that's what we're here for tonight, aren't we? There's a missions conference. And so asking the Lord to stir our hearts. Just will you pray for us? There's lots of things going on. But I'll tell you what, I don't care how much there is going on, because Jesus is coming again soon. Amen. And you know what? We'll get a good rest when we get to heaven. And thank God for it. But let's just keep pressing on and asking the Lord to do more and more. And you pray for these young people, and I'll be very vocal about this. You pray that God will call some of them back to the Northwest. I'm praying God will call some of them to be missionaries overseas, that God will raise up an army of laborers. You know what Jesus said? The laborers are few. Can we all agree about that tonight? The laborers are few. So what did he say to do about it? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And that's where it starts, to pray. And to ask God to send forth laborers. And may the Lord, we know the Lord will hear and answer prayer, won't we? And let's ask God to do that in the days ahead. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we almost feel like we're winding down. But I love your theme. Let's finish strong. Amen. These students, they're ending their semester and they go back next Friday and then they have finals and it's over. And you know what often happens is everybody starts waning, you know. They call it spring fever. right? I was talking with a pastor and principal of a Christian school. He goes, pray for us, because he says, I've had more kids in my office as the principal this week than the entire semester because it's spring fever, you know? And, you know, that's how we are as humans, as we try to, you know, we get distracted. We get so easily distracted. But may God help us, as Paul so often wrote, this one thing I do. This one thing. Let's get back to the simplicity of serving God and living for Him. And let the main thing be the main thing. And let the Lord just, because I'll tell you what, He's coming again, isn't He? He's coming again. And He says, blessed are they whom when the Lord cometh, finds His servant so doing. And may we be found so doing. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me in the Word of God, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 14. And, you know, it's been said that a missions conference is a pep rally. You know, this is a year, an election year, isn't it? How many of you have ever been to a political pep rally or a candidate's? It's pretty exhilarating, isn't it? And I remember when we were on deputation, we were near Erie, Pennsylvania. And this was during the election. I can't remember anymore, but you remember Sarah Palin, you know? And my wife just thought she was everything, you know? And so her and another missionary wife both loved Sarah Palin. And so we were at a missions conference. And my wife goes, do you think you could ask the pastor if we could get out of the morning activities and go see her at a pep rally? I was like, you're going to ask that question. I'm not going to ask the preacher that. I said, because we're here to be on the mission of the gospel, not the mission of the Republican Party, amen? But, you know, the preacher, so my wife and this other lady went and asked him very graciously, and he goes, the only way I'll let you go is if you'll let me go with you. And so they got to go, and they waited in line, and they got her to sign something, and they just said it was just the most amazing thing to experience. And then what happens when you have a missions conference? People complain because you took too long, preacher. Yeah. You know, we got school tomorrow. We got this. We got that. Where people today will do unbelievable, crazy things for things that honestly, yes, that I'm not saying they're not important, but let's be honest, they're temporal. They're not going to last. Yeah. Think about where we were 4 years ago.
Right.
Come and gone. Where are we at? I'm not saying they're not important, but I'm saying compared to eternity, these things mean nothing. But what we're here tonight to do is to speak about eternal things, about the Word of God, about God's plan and His purpose for this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the purpose of God, His love for the world and for the gospel, to save the world before it's too late. It's eternal. And I'm praying tonight that God, listen, all these things we've heard have been amazing things already. But let's be honest, we've heard them before. And so often we hear them time and time again. I grew up as a missionary kid going to missions conferences with my dad, and I've heard these things, and I realize that I know them. But it's more than just knowing them. It's doing them.
Yeah.
And we've got to get a fire from the Lord that will burn in our hearts and a passion for the things of God. And to be honest, we've got to have our minds stirred up. And so if you will tonight, let's have a little pep rally from the Word of God, if you will. Because I need to get stirred up. We all need to get stirred up. We need to be reminded of these things. And if I get a little too excited, just get excited with me. Amen. Because we have something to be excited about. We have the greatest news in this world. It's the gospel, the fact that God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son. And He is the answer to this world's problems. Is He not? The gospel is the answer. Here in America and across the seas and around the world, the gospel is the only answer. And the devil's working even harder, so we ought to work even harder than he is. And pray more fervently, as we've heard tonight. And go more fervently and give more fervently. Why? Because it's all about eternity. I want you to read with me tonight, if you would, in Romans chapter 14, or sorry, 15. Romans chapter 15, forgive me, in verse 14, we'll read down to verse 21. And here the Apostle Paul is writing from prison as a prisoner. And he's still passionate about the things of the gospel, amen? Still passionate about the work that God had given him to do, amen? I love it. Even in prison, he's still witnessing to everybody. He never stopped getting the gospel to everybody he could. If you would, in verse 14, he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also admonish one another." In verse 15, "Brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Let's pray tonight. Father, I pray that in the next few moments together, as we look into thy word, speak to us, Lord. May your Spirit have control, and may, Lord, you guide us in thy word today. Hide me behind your cross. May you be lifted up, and may you, God, help us to be mindful of these things. Help me, Lord. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to live by sight and not by faith. And Lord, we pray tonight that all of us, that we would have the Spirit of Christ, the unity that would please you, that we would be united in this work of the gospel that you have given us the opportunity and privilege to be a part of. I pray if there are any here tonight that aren't saved, that they'd be saved. And Lord, for us that are saved, Lord, help us to do more. Oh, there's so much more to be done. And your coming is a day closer today than it was yesterday. Help us, Lord, we pray. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. What a great little passage that we see here. And really, you see the heart of Paul about the work in which God had given him to do. And it's a powerful passage. Things that we ought to take note of. And as I mentioned here, in verse 15, he says, as putting you in mind. He's like, I'm reminding you of some things that are true, of things that we need to be reminded of. And we're all good at forgetting. That's the one thing we're experts at. Well, the one thing we're not good at is remembering what we should and remembering the things that God has given us to do. And we've got to get back to this, don't we? Paul said, I'm going to stir up your minds, your pure minds, to remembrance. And we need some stirring up, amen? We need some mindfulness about these things. And that's what a missions conference is all about. It's to emphasize and to take time to look into God's word. But it's not just to be a here and now and done and over kind of thing. It's to stir us up so we can continue on throughout this year and to do more. I love your heart of your pastor saying, God's done amazing things, but God can do more. There's always more to be done. There's always more to get out and to accomplish. And may God give us this passion for it, as God gave Paul a passion for it. You see here, he said, I've strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was preached, where he's not named. We see the pioneering spirit of the Apostle Paul. And can I say this? We all ought to have a pioneering spirit. That was the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, was it not? He came from the glory of heaven to this world to bring the gospel, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. That's what's so, and it's exciting. It's thrilling. It's thrilling to hear of missionaries in Colombia that have preached the gospel and they've taken on the devil face to face, amen? And God's given them victory. And to see missionaries going to England and so many back on the wall there, but we need more of it. And you know where it starts is it starts in the hearts of God's people when we get on the same plan and mission that God has for this world. And we've got to get our hearts right with God, and we've got to come before Him and say, Lord, give me these things. Put a fire within me that won't go out. I'm tired of being stirred but not being changed, as the song goes. We're guilty of that, aren't we? But Lord, help us. This very missions conference could be the beginning of something amazing if we'll let it. But it won't be if we don't. Let's let the Lord have His way. I want to show you some things here. As Paul, he says, I want to put you into mind. And you know, in verse 14, forgive my voice. You pray for it, all right? It's going to make it through tonight. But we see that he says in verse 14, he speaks to the church. He says, you're filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And he's like, you know, within the church, we know what we ought to be doing. We know these things. We understand them. We understand that gospel and what the gospel is. And we're even able to admonish one another. But Paul says, you know what? It's even more than that. It's even more than that. We ought to be just actively involved in this. And we've got to give it our all. He says, hey, keep doing those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But then he says, but God, he says to me, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort. We got to get more bold about this. We need to get more passionate about it. We need to say, God, do something. Do something because you're coming back again. And Lord, use me. Use me, God. And you say, I can't be used. That's an excuse. That's not going to get it done. Amen. I played basketball. And I know you can't believe that looking at me in Christian school. But I played basketball. And I can remember my coach saying time and time again, guys, quit making excuses and lay it all out on the court. Give it your all. Because all that matters is what the score says at the end of the game. We're getting closer to the end of the game, aren't we? And we got to give it our all for the Lord. And God can do these things. I'll tell you what, God's not changed from the day of Paul to the day of today. He's still the same. But He wants to work through His people. He wants to work through us. And if we don't get passionate about this, then God's not going to be able to do it. Paul uses the word strived. You see that in verse 20. He says, yea, so have I strived. That word strive means make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. To make great efforts. And we ask ourselves this question, that last year, did we make great efforts to accomplish the work of God? Great efforts. Not just efforts. I'm not saying that, you know, we know the knowledge and we're doing these things, we're admonishing one another, but are we making great efforts? And Paul says, I'm speaking to you more boldly. Can I say this? I'm not preaching this. And I'm preaching this to myself. The Word of God is convicting, isn't it? So I was praying about what to speak tonight. The Holy Spirit just got all over me and say, it's right. You need to pray. And then the message that was brought already, we're in a battle. And we got to be more fervent in prayer. We need to be more fervent in these things. Because our time's running out. He says, let's get serious about this. Let's have a team meeting and let's get it right. Let's quit making the excuses and keep being distracted and let's keep the thing that we ought to keep before us. And he says, I've strived to preach the gospel. I've given every effort I have to get the gospel to people before it's too late. Because that's all that will matter one day. I don't think Paul ever regretted what God did for him on the road to Damascus. And he continues here. He says this. He says, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Can we hear an amen right there? Are you what you are by the grace of God? Am I what I am by the grace of God? We wouldn't have anything tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. Everything we have, and the very fact you're breathing right now is the grace of God. And we forget that, don't we? Everything we have because of God. And everything we have in store is because of God. And Paul said, that's why I speak more boldly to you. That's why I speak to myself tonight Are we striving for the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what this is. This is a business meeting of the church to decide the fate of the world. People are lost and dying tonight. There's a need. We've heard it preached last night. The need is great, but we have something greater, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to get busy about this work and stirred up about it. Paul, he declares himself to be a minister of it. In verse 16, he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering what? The gospel of God. Where God had us live for 9 years is an unbelievable place in the world where all these humanitarian groups and the UN pour millions of dollars into our little island because of the things that they need and all these different things. And it's unbelievable what is spent. And all that money is just wasted. It never amounts to a hill of beans. There's actually a man from Britain that was there and his dear wife. And praise God, both of them came to know the Lord as their Savior. And it's an amazing thing what the gospel can do. But he's worked in that kind of work his entire life. And he said, people in my business say, whenever you go to one of these countries, don't go back because it'll just destroy and discourage you from anything happening. And I thought about that and I thought, wow. And here God sent the gospel to these people. And guess what? The gospel has gone forth and people have been saved. And now there's an eternal fruit that is being produced in that place. Do we realize what we have at our disposal? The gospel. And Paul says, I'm a minister of this. You know, it's easy sometimes to look at all the trials and persecutions and the difficulties, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, all of us ought to be ministers of the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. We're all ministers of it, though. Amen? You don't believe me? Look with me real quick. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians real quick. We'll come right back to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I love this. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in verse 17, Paul says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then he continues saying what those all things are. Look in the next verse. He says, and all things are of who? God. That's the grace, amen? Everything you have is of God. And he goes on saying, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And then look at this. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. We have a ministry. You're a minister. We're all ministers of the gospel. He saved us for a purpose. He changed us. Old things are passed away so that new things can take place. And all those things are for a purpose that we can be reconciled unto God by Jesus Christ. And then we can go take the word of reconciliation to others. Wow. Amen. That's like when the coach says, let's just get back to the basics. Let's just get back to what the Bible says we're to be doing. And that's all there is. But that's all there needs to be. Look back with me tonight, if you will, as we consider, I titled the message tonight, Pioneers of the Gospel. Are we being the pioneers of the gospel that God created us to be? As Paul is such a great example of those things, as he strived to preach the gospel. He was a pioneer, just as Lewis and Clark came out here to the Northwest to blaze the trail to the Pacific Ocean, to make a path and to discover new places that no one had been before. In the same way, we're to be pioneers, to take the gospel. And let me tell you something, there's places all over this world, and even here in America, where the gospel is not. Where the gospel is ceased. Where the gospel is not present. Where the gospel's never been. And we live right here in the Northwest. But it's not just here, it's all over the world. Tonight, if you're taking some notes, will you just take three things and we'll be done tonight. As we ask God to stir our hearts concerning this work of getting the gospel out. We think about missionaries and all the things they have to do. Think about Paul. Think about what he had to do. He traveled 1,500 miles to travel by foot or by boat to get places. Thank God, you got to do a lot of driving in the Northwest, amen? And missionaries, we do a lot of driving. But thank God I don't have to do it by foot or on a boat, amen? Can you imagine, guys? Let's quit complaining about cars, amen? And here he is doing out there, getting his work done, taking the gospel, being beaten most of the time for it, on the run for his life, putting in prison. I mean, bitten by snakes. Anybody like snakes around here? Thank God that's why I live in Montana. The Lord knows. He sent me to the Pacific. There's no snakes. And out here, there's no snakes. I went back to Tennessee for a few weeks to see my wife. And there's snakes everywhere down there. Man. Now, if God calls me, I guess I'll go by the grace of the Lord. But I hate snakes. There's only one good kind of snake, and that's a dead one. Amen. But Paul endured those things. And God performed miracles on his behalf. And he endured all those things. Why? Because he had a passion about them. He had a purpose in life. And he asked the Lord to do these things. I want to show you these tonight. And may they help us. And may we ask ourselves, can we become like Paul? We need some Pauls. And then we need to, can I say this? We don't just need one or two. We need every one of God's children to be like Paul. We need to have a passion about these things. God used circumstances in my life, and I don't have time to share my whole testimony, but I really fought God on what the Lord had for my life. I had two older brothers. My parents are missionaries, and I grew up a missionary kid, and I had two older brothers that went back to the mission field and were serving God. And when it got to me, I was like, God, surely you got something else for me to do, because I do not want to compete with my two old brothers. Amen? I fought it. I had struggled with surrender in my life. And I'm so grateful for a patient, merciful God who brought me back to a place of surrender. And God put in my life some things that, and I'm grateful for that. But he used some things and took me to Crown College. I'm grateful for some parents because I didn't really want to go there, but I agreed to go for 1 year. And that's all it took for the Lord to get a hold of my heart. And then I began to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. What is it you want me to do? I began to pray and ask God to do that. And there was a real emphasis on the pioneering work of the Lord and to get the gospel to places. And we had missions conferences, and every message, it just seemed like God was saying, and in my own devotional life, in Isaiah chapter 55, which is the chapter which I claim is my missions call to the work, that's what Paul quotes there at the end of what we just read. And to take the gospel to places where it's not been. And I said, Lord, I don't know how that's possible, but if that's what you want me to do, then I know you'll go with me and we'll do it. And you know what? We all have a passion about these things. There is a quote, though, that Pastor Sexton said while we were there. He said this. He said, every Christian ought to either be planting a church or helping somebody plant a church. Amen. Amen. Every one of us ought to be actively involved in it or helping somebody do it. You know why? Because the church is the body of Christ. It's Jesus said, I'll build my church. He gave his life for the church. And we're the body of Christ. We're the ones that he's given us the responsibility. And can I say this? The privilege to take the gospel to a world. Amen. Amen. It's not just some kind of hard task. No. It's a privilege. There's nothing better you can do with your day than to tell somebody about Jesus. And may we realize this and get a passion about it. I want you to see, number one, Paul realized the purpose of life. And what was the purpose of life? Look with me in verse 19. He says there at the end of it, he says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's the purpose of life. It's the gospel. Amen. And we've mentioned that already, but that ought to be the one thing we do. That ought to be the one thing that we're a part of is the gospel of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. That's the good news. That's the best news. And there's a world out there lost and dying without Christ, without the gospel. And they're going to a crisis eternity without him. And what are we going to do about it? We've been saved, we've been changed, and we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. He did all that for us to have a purpose in life, and that's to get the gospel to people. My grandfather was an alcoholic. He worked in the steel mills of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, a hard man. Seven kids. My dad was one of the first in the family to come to know the Lord because a church in the area came and brought the kids to church. Praise God for those that work with children and bring them to church. And they began to pray for their dad and say, God, save our dad. Lord, save him from the life that he's in. And he came home one Sunday afternoon as they went off to church for the evening service. And he came into his children's room and he opened their Bible and he saw the verse John 3:16. He went to church that night. They didn't know that he had come and came into the back of the church. And as the gospel was preached, and to their astonishment during the invitation, my grandfather walked the aisle and got saved. And can I say you what? He is a 2 Corinthians 5:17 Christian because God changed his life completely. I can remember from some of my earliest ages going to visit my grandfather, and everywhere we went, he'd tell people John 3:16. He became known as John 3:16 Frank because he went back to the steel mills and told people. He didn't know. He didn't have an education. He could hardly read and write. But he knew what John 3:16 had meant to him, and he made it a purpose in life to tell everybody he could about Jesus Christ. He had a purpose in life. Where's our purpose? Maybe some of our purpose is to grumble and complain about all our problems in life. We're masters about that, aren't we? Maybe our purpose in life is to tell everybody else what their purpose is. Maybe our purpose is just get back to the one thing, to get the gospel to people. You say, I can't talk to people. God will help us. God will enable us. We'll just say, Lord, help me. Maybe some of us need to say, God, will you give me somebody to share the gospel with and help me to do it? See, that's a passion for it, isn't it? It's like, Lord, help me to do it. Lord, will you help our missionaries today? I believe, brother, what you said to be true, because there were days on the field where everything was against us, the devil was fighting us, and then boom, God would bring somebody my way that I could witness to and see get saved. And you know what? I know it's the prayers of God's people. It's the prayers of churches that are standing behind the laborers and praying for them. When's the last time you prayed for your preacher? Prayed for others in the church? Prayed and say, God, help us today as a church that you would make us a witness for you. That you would take our laborers that are out on the foreign fields and even right over in Montana and say, God, use them today to be ministers of the gospel. We have a purpose, don't we? But then I want you to see not only Paul's purpose, but his passion. His passion. He says there in verse 19, he says at the end, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then verse 20, you see his passion. He said, so have I strived to preach, giving my greatest effort to accomplish something. I'm giving it my all. Because you don't give your all for something that you're not passionate about. We've talked about a lot of things at this conference already. And I was reading last night as it was mentioned in Corinthians there concerning 2 Corinthians 8, how the church gave to the work of the Lord. But I want you to see something. In verse 5, it says, in this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto the will of God. You don't give yourself to something you're not passionate about. Amen? We'll do something, and if we're not passionate about, listen, I'm telling you what, people are passionate about this election this year, and they're giving everything towards it because they're passionate about it. What are we giving to something that's the greatest thing this world ever will have and that will last for eternity? Are we willing to have a passion about it? Striving for it. Oh, may God give us this. And can I say this? Can I say this? It starts where we're willing to give our lives to the Lord and saying, God, give me this passion. Give me this passion. Give our alls to him. Because you know what? He gave his all for us. We love him because he first loved us. And as we see, as Paul wrote, may God give us a passion. And in his own words, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, I've done all these things because I've strived to do the thing God's given me to do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forth. I press forth for what? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what it is, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, is to accomplish the will of God, to see the gospel go forth and people to be saved. That's the will of God, isn't it? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. And if we're passionate about it, God will do great things. And lastly, as I finish tonight, not only that, we see Paul's, he says, the plan. How is it going to be accomplished? He says in verse 20, he says, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. How is it fair that, I've heard it said like this, and forgive me, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's not fair that somebody should hear twice before everybody's heard once that Jesus Christ saves. Amen? There's a world that's never heard. When I think of how our little island in Kiribati, it's the second least visited country in the world. Most people have never heard of it. Most people say, you know, what? It's insignificant. But I tell you what, it's significant enough to the Lord to send missionaries there to take the gospel so people can be saved. And there's places like that all over this world that need the gospel. And the plan is, let's get the gospel out. Let's be pioneers of the gospel, to take it where it's not been named. And all the work of God needs to go on here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. But may we not neglect the new frontiers. May we not neglect the places that have not heard yet, because there's countless places. Even as tonight I hear of Colombia and how few missionaries are there. It makes me want to go there. Amen? You know why? Because God's given me a passion for the pioneering work of the gospel, to say, let's go and get the gospel to places that never have heard. Let's take the gospel to the towns in the Northwest that have no gospel preaching church. Let's take the gospel to England and the places, the countless million people that have never heard. And quickly, this world can be changed through the gospel of Christ if we just get passionate about it. Can I say this? God's work is higher than our ways, amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And sometimes we explain it away. That's the worst thing we can do in the work of missions. And we start judging everybody, and we start complaining, and we're more divided on this than we are just about anything else. What could we do if we would unite under the banner of the cross and the gospel to get it out to a world that needs it? I'll tell you what, all our bickering and grumbling and complaining won't amount to a hill of beans one day when we get to heaven. Amen? But what's done with the gospel, it'll last for eternity. God has a plan. It's through his local church. It's through the church that he died and gave his body for here. And may God help us to have a passion about these things. I'm convicted. You know why? Because every one of us can do more. And it's going to require some faith. Amen? It's going to require I don't know how this is going to happen, but Lord, I know you can do it. Because he's faithful. But are we willing to get on board with God's plan and purpose and have his passion? Can I tell you what? Christ went to the cross because of his passion to save me. He went to the cross because of his passion to save you. Will we ask God for that passion to take a gospel to people that need it? May the Lord help us. I want to finish by singing this song. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to read it for you. My wife sings this song as a special, and it's one of my favorites. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willing still would I go nor turn, but trust thee for grace every day. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell. We need a passion. God, give it to me. I need it. We all need it. May the Lord help us as a church to go forth and do more, to strive more, no matter what it takes, to see the gospel go forth and to be accomplished. Because one day it'll be worth it all. Yep. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. And Lord, I thank you. And I'm convicted because, Lord, it's so easy to get distracted with the things of this life and this world. Forgive me. Forgive all of us, Lord, for just living by sight and not by faith. Living for our desires and not your desires. Lord, these young people who have great futures ahead of them, Lord, give them a passion for the gospel. Give all of us, Lord, no matter where we are in life, a passion to win the lost. Here in Hayden and Coeur d'Alene and Spokane and Seattle and Montana and Idaho and this whole country, God, they need you. Give us a passion for people. Lord, break our hearts as your heart was broken for us. The people might be saved. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of compassion and our lack of passion to do these things, God, and help us, enable us to strive. Help each one of these missionaries that are here go before them, Lord, and do a mighty work through them. Well, thank you, God, for this time we can be together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Pastor.